The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is born.
Glorified.
Oh, very good. Christ is born.
Glorified.
Christ is born.
Glorified.
And such is the news that we announce for the next few days until December through December 31st, the lead taking of the Nativity. The event of Christmas. It's a mystery. It's a wonder. It's a scandal. God becoming man. It's a mystery. God becoming man. It's a wonder. God becoming man is a scandal. And perhaps that's why, or that may be the chief reason why so many people reject Christianity. The gospel, if taken seriously and at face value, is a scandal. It's a mystery. It's a wonder. And contrary to those who are scandalized by the event of Christmas, both nativity accounts, that of Matthew and that of Luke, present to you and me seekers who found themselves wrapped in the mystery. They were wrapped in the wonder, and they were wrapped in the scandal. On Christmas night, some poor, uneducated Jewish shepherds sought their way over the hills of Bethlehem to see this wonder, to see this mystery, to see this scandal. And sometime later, certain Gentile magi, they were the rich, they were pagans, they were the educated, they too came. They too sought the mystery, the wonder, the scandal. The heavens too, with the appearance of angels and a star, and the earth also, through a cave and with animals, marveled at the mystery, the wonder, and the scandal. Tonight, taking a lead from the gospel passage, let us ponder, reflect upon these mysterious men called magi. Throughout the history of Christianity, the account arouses more questions than answers, sometimes ending with skepticism, and other times leading to contemplation. Take, for example, how many magi were there? The gospel passage never says three. From whence did they originate? Persia, Babylon, Egypt, Afghanistan, Germany? Who were they? Were they astronomers? Were they some priestly class? Some group of philosophers? What was that object in the sky? Was it a star? Was it a planet? Perhaps Jupiter, Saturn? Was it a supernova? Halley's Comet? Or somehow a metaphor about even Jesus the Christ? Those questions may never be answered definitively. However, it makes little difference because they miss the real meaning of the gospel recorded to us by Matthew. What do we know? These magi came from the East, which means they're not Jewish. That's the point. God came to reconcile all mankind to himself. And thus we saw that in the genealogy last Sunday with the pagans, people from the non-Jewish race who were incorporated into the very family tree of Mary and Jesus. The journey of these wise men, the Magi, had to be a difficult one, given the primitive means of traveling some 2,000 years ago. These Magi came to the palace of a king, King Herod, because that is where one would expect to find a newborn king. The Christ child, however, was not there. He was in a home in Bethlehem. And upon encountering the Christ child, these men prostrated themselves and did this baby homage. They presented three gifts: frankincense, myrrh, and gold. And all of them, however many they were, returned home by a different route. Of these facts, historical facts, let us reflect on four. They were seekers. They worshiped. They brought gifts. And they went home by a different route. The Magi were seekers. These men were observers of nature. They watched the celestial satellites in the sky. They watched the sun and the planets. And these men were also well versed in the prophecies. Being vigilant, therefore, that's the key, they were vigilant, they were awake. They did not miss the signs in the sky. And they took what they saw and they equated it with the passages that they knew in the prophecies. And there were prophecies, just not Jewish prophecies. We know that other cultures, the Hindu and the Chinese writings, also spoke of some great king that would be coming out of a land in the Middle East of a race called the Jewish people. And these Magi would have known these different prophecies all throughout the entire East and Far East. The first lesson then to learn from the account of the Magi is this: always be spiritually awake, be alert, be vigilant. Otherwise, you will miss the signs of God. You'll miss Him. Contrary to the Magi, who were observers of nature and observers of the prophecies and the scriptures, we live in a secular, de-Christianized society, which is immersed in what? Not the things of the Spirit, not the things of God. We are immersed in earthly things, passing things, and living in this modern world, we're frankly very detached from nature. We can't even see the stars anymore at nighttime because of all the artificial light. Americans can speak intelligibly about sports, movies, social media, politics, and all about the latest technological devices and advancements. But how many Catholics can speak intelligibly about the Word of God, about the very person Jesus of Nazareth, about one's Catholic faith and what we profess in the creed? Let us take a lesson from the Magi and become very well versed in our faith and really become in tune with nature and what it teaches us. The second lesson to learn is that the journey to the Christ child was difficult. These magi were men of ascesis, discipline, asceticism. Their journey demanded sacrifice, and their journey demanded patient endurance. It's the same for anyone seeking God. You must be willing to make sacrifices, and you must be willing to endure patiently. That difficulty to practice could be as basic as the effort to attend liturgy throughout the year on Sundays and our greater feast days. And once finding the God-man, this little baby on this night some 2,000 years ago, what was the first act of the Magi? They prostrated and they did him homage. That's the first act of the human person. We are created, first and foremost, to worship and adore God. That's why you and I are here. And that was the very first act that these magi did when they were in the presence of the baby who is God. Such is the reason that when you and I enter the sacred temple, our first act is a profound metony. We bow to the ground and we touch the earth from which we were made and we make the sign of the cross. The third lesson that you and I can learn from the account of the Magi's visitation ought to give you and me a moment to pause and reflect. They brought him gifts. They did not come before a king and God empty-handed. What do you bring to the Lord this Christmas season? What did you bring to the Lord this Christmas night? What will you bring to the Lord these next days during the Christmas season? What do you bring to God at every liturgy? What do you bring to God when you pray? Our holy fathers and mothers tell us to bring to God above all else a converted heart, a righteous heart, a chaste heart, not just about sexual sins, a chaste heart where God, you're my first love. Give to God the gift of your voice during the liturgy. Give to God, offer to him your selfless love in word and deed. Give to God the gift of your undivided attention, especially in prayer. Give to God to everyone you meet who's in need. The fourth lesson that we learn from the visitation of the Magi is that they returned home by a different route. Any authentic, genuine, true, and real encounter with the living person, Jesus of Nazareth, always changes the human heart. You never, ever, ever walk away the same. The baptized person will always walk away by a different path. That may include parting with certain friendships, familiar places, or comfortable habits. We call it metanoia. Conversion. My brothers and sisters, let this Christmas season be filled with mystery, be filled with wonder, be filled with scandal. Let the mystery, let the wonder, let the scandal move you, impel you to become seekers, to become worshipers, to bring a gift, and to journey home, your heavenly home, by a different path you've been walking. Christ is born.